Amen. Hey, once again, if you guys are here last week, you heard the news. We are back in action with our Book of James study. What's the tagline? How to spot a phony Christian. Does that really happen? Yeah, it's all over the place. Unfortunately, in the church today, you got what? False teachers, false prophets, false apostles. And what's the scripture say? False believers. What's that? Paul said he was in danger of them. What's that? There's fakers in the church. It's not just a Judas. It's a faker in the church, right? But the good news is God doesn't just tell us this. He tells us how to spot them, okay? And that's what the book of James is all about. That's also what the book of 1 John is all about. That'd be a fun study to do as well. But the problem is the church isn't doing that. They're allowing anything to come through those doors, right? You breathe, okay, you be in charge of this. It's all messed up because they're not learning how to spot the fakers. But hey, we're Sunrise Bible Church. We preach the Bible, so guess what? You're going to get the Bible, right? And so let's open the Bible to James chapter 1. Let's take a look. And again, where we left off 500 years ago. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a while. I think I was 16 at the time. But anyway, believe it or not, it was the days before I wore these jackets. So it's been a while. Okay, that's the code word. Right? James chapter 1, we're going to take a look at the third sign to indicate. How do you know you might very well have a faker in your midst? Well, he's going to be very blunt. Once again, God does not mince words. Here's how you know. James chapter 1, 19 through 25 is the whole context, and then we're going to go back to 19 and shred it apart. Listening and what? Doing is the context of God's word here. My dear brothers, take note of this. What's that mean? Pay attention. Everyone, how many? Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak. Oh, I'm in trouble already. No, that's not what it means. Praise God for that, or I would be in trouble. But we'll see. Slow to speak and what? Slow to become angry. Why? Well, he tells you. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely what? Listen to the word. Why? Because if that all it is, what? You're going to be deceived. And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's the whole point. Why are you here? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, he's like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but what? What's the whole point? He says it again. Doing it. He'll be tortured. He's going to miss out on so much fun in life because that's all it is, just a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. No, what's he say? He'll be blessed. Makarios, spiritually prosperous. In what? In what he does. You may be seated if you can. So again, we've been seeing, if you guys recall, the book of James, okay, is a fantastic study, but it's a study about spotting the fakers. James gives you acid tests. Now, why would he do that? This is the first book written chronologically in the New Testament. Doesn't appear that way in the Bible, but it is. It's the first one. So why would the first book of the Bible be a book all about acid tests of who's a Christian, who's not, who's the fakers? Because Satan, that's what we read in the New Testament. He couldn't stop the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He couldn't stop the birth of the church, Acts chapter 2. Now God's truth, people can get saved, Jew, Gentiles, going all over the world. And so what's he do? He does what he always does. He tries to mess things up. And so that's what we read in the New Testament immediately after the birth of the church. What's he do? Just sit around? Okay, I guess I lost. No, he starts flooding the church with fakers, false teachers, false apostles, false prophets, and false believers. Why? Because then they could take over the church, destroy the church, and then if people do come, then they're going to get a false gospel, not the truth, a false Jesus, and that's where we're at today. Hello. Very applicable church. Now, so he gives us acid tests. Now, the first acid test, he says, you want to know if you got a faker in your midst? Watch while they respond to trials. Oh, they've been going to church services for a whole year. Nobody can stack chairs like that guy. We call him Sir Stack-a-Lot. He's got to be a Christian because he can stack like nobody's business. Really? Hard times come. I become an atheist. You guys, and God, you know. First John says what? Not just James. They went out from us because they didn't belong to us. If they belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but they're going to show that none of them belong to us. So sometimes you're going to recognize what these people do and how they respond to trials. The second one is what? Temptations. If you profess to be a Christian and you don't have a new attitude towards sin, something's wrong. Because you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God and he's there to convict you of sin. And if you ain't got a new attitude towards sin, and if you at least would get to the point where we're to say that God condones this sin, that's blasphemy. Right? But how people deal with sin, temptation, that's another big indicator. And now where we're at is the third one, and that's the truth. In other words, God's word, i.e. the Bible. Watch what these people do with God's truth. Another huge indicator, and that's what we see in this verse. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The original Greek says this, you know, no shadow of a doubt, folks, you know this. Come on, I shouldn't have to remind you, in other words. My brethren, beloved ones, the aforementioned facts. Now, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow with respect to anger. It's an acid test of how do these people respond to God's word, and not just listening to it, but the point is, are you doing it? If you don't do it, you deceive yourselves. That's why he says contextually in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word. If that's all you do, and you have no intentions obeying or submitting to it, and do what he says, you deceive yourself. The point is what? Do what it says. Why? Because all of God's commands, I'm never going to have any fun. Are you kidding me? It isn't just his yeses, even his noes are for our good. It's for our protection. Do what it says. You know this, he says. I shouldn't have to sit there and pull your teeth to get you to obey this. But here's what it is. Basically, in other words, if all you do is come here to punch in your religious time clock to do not what God says to do week after week, that's not a good sign. If only your attitude in coming here is to do the absolute bare minimum just to keep up the appearance of men, guess what? It might be a sign the Pharisees did that. That's not a good sign. How you handle God's word is a big indicator of your spiritual condition. You're either a Christian who's backsliding, or guess what? You might be a faker. And only God knows the heart. One's not good, backsliding. One's really not good, because you think you're going to heaven, but you're really still on the way to hell. Because you go to a church service, but that doesn't save you. Doesn't mean anything. My brothers, that's what he says, take note of this. In other words, this is serious. Last thing you want to do is go to a church service your whole life and become the ultimate chair stacker. I became a deacon and I deeked like nobody else. I joined Pastor Billy with the elders and nobody could eld like me. And you end up in hell because you've never turned to Christ. Churches are flooded with those people today. I'm convinced. I'm going to see that even more today. Okay, so he gives you acid tests. Watch what they do with God's word. Now, if you guys remember from 500 years ago where we left off, preachers can dream. I had a dream come true when Corky started dressing like me. Come on, folks, deal with it. He's right here. Stand up, Corky. Show him. Show him the proof. Okay, the other stand up. That stand up. Yay, look at that, huh? Praise God. 30 years, one person responded. That's called perseverance, man. I'll tell you what. No, but hey, 500 years ago when we left off, where were we? He said the first indicator was these people, a true born again Christian, you're going to be a good listener of God's word. That's just the first step. A good listener, right? And that's what he says there in the context, right? James chapter 1. Everyone, what's the context? If you're a born-again Christian, here's an acid test. Oh, I'm a Christian. Okay, guess what? Then you should what? Be quick to listen. Now, the key word there isn't just listen. It's what? He's quick to listen. It's the Greek word takous, and it means this. It's quick, swift, speedy, fast. This is no casual listener. This guy's an eager beaver guy. And what's the context? God's word. To give you a visual, as you saw last time. Woohoo! Sunday's coming! What? Wednesday Bible study? I'm going to that too. What? Saturday? You won't! Ladies Bible study? Hey, woohoo! That's what it is. It's quick to listen. It's not just listen. It's this guy can't get enough of God's word. You know, like when you first got saved. Ooh, what happened? Right? That's what he's saying. Craving the milk of God's word is a normal thing for a brand new Christian. You don't have to convince babies to eat milk. I don't know if they make that noise. Maybe it was only my kids. Christians, when you're born again, I don't have to get you. I gotta go again. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Now, is that how the American church is? That's where we left? No. Oh, you're quick, all right. A lot of churchgoers are very quick, but they ain't going to the Word of God. They're not running like that guy. Woo-hoo! They're quick to the newspaper, the Word of Man. And then when we're done with that, they're quick to go to the TV. Still not the Bible. Oh, and then for our modern times, they're quick to go to cell phone and social media. And James would challenge you today, if you profess to be a Christian, which is more important to you? The newspaper, the television, the cell phone, social media, or the Word of God? You're quick to hear, all right, but it's not the Word of God, it's the Word of Man. And then you cry and whine to God. Oh, God, why is my life so messed up? I'm shriveling. I'm not growing. I got no wisdom, no direction, no power, no control. I'm starving to death. Why? Because that's your routine. Oh, you're quick. But it's not. come into the Word of God, to be encouraged, to be taught, to be nourished, to grow strong, to have this power and the wisdom that you need to deal with this side of heaven. Oh no, it's the Word of man. You reap what you sow. And you wonder why it feels like God's a million miles away? Well, guess who moved? Not God. You did. And James would say, listen, if that's you, one of two options. You're either a Christian who's been seduced by this wicked world system and you need to stop backsliding, get back on track with the Word of God. Put God first. Or maybe the reason why, even after all this time, I don't care how long you've been going. I've been going to church since the days of Noah. I don't care. But if you just can't seem to put God's word first, that's not a good sign. Maybe the reason why is because you never got born again. Churches aren't full of people like that, are they? Yeah, that's an indicator, right? And again, why would you flirt with that? The goal isn't, let me see how close I can get to the world and somehow still smell like being a Christian. No! It's how close can I get to Christ before I see him one day? Amen. And you know what you do? It's right here. You want to know him? Right here. You want to be like him? Right here. You know all the wisdom from him? Right here. Right? Normal. Quick. Yes. Can't wait to get in there. Right. Now we're getting into the second indicator. And as he says here, it's this. A good sponge. You're a good sponge. Cool. Sponges are interesting. Sponges are creatures that live in the ocean. For those of you hooked on oceanography today. Sponges are things that we now take those creatures from the ocean and let them die a slow death. Then we cut them into cubes, in case you're wondering. Right? And then we sell them to you to wash your dishes. And then we act like we're doing some great cleansing thing, but we leave them on the counter for the next 3 months, where if you ever had a microscope and you looked what was on that sponge, you've now just smeared that bacteria over every single dish that you eat. Let's close in prayer. But that's your lesson on sponges today. Right? But the one interesting thing about sponges is this. Sponges absorb what they're placed into. And you go like, but you don't always know. So how do you know what's inside of a sponge? Squeeze that baby. And how do you know when somebody's a true born again Christian? One of the big things Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You squeeze that Christian with circumstances. And if the word of God doesn't come out or godly behavior, they're soaking up something wrong. James says, if you're a true Christian, you're going to be a sponge with God's word. Let's begin to break that down. That's what he says here now. Second characteristics, right? James chapter 1. Everyone, if you're truly born again, yes, you're going to be quick to listen. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, can't wait to get there. But what's the next one? Slow to speak. Obviously, I'm backsliding every week because I just can't do that. No, praise God, that's not the case. Or I'd be in big trouble, right? But here's the context. It's in reference to God's word, James 1:22. Don't merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James is saying the second thing you can expect from a true born again Christian, they're not just quick to listen, but they're slow to speak. It's this word, two words in the Greek, slow to speak. Bradus leleo, watch what it means. Slow to utter a voice or emit a sound. It's not in speech when you talk. It's just you're slow to talk. Or slow to use words in order to, listen, declare one's mind, disclose your thoughts, because after all, you know how it should be. James is saying this person, man, he is a teachable Christian. Because when he shows up for church services, man, he ain't doing all the talking. He ain't telling God or other people what it means. No, he's just a sponge. He's soaking it up. He's there, man. Can't wait to get there. Tacoosh. Woo-hoo-hoo. And when he gets there, soaking it up. Absorbing what God would have to share with him that day, because it's not by chance what God put on that preacher's heart. Let me give you some visuals. The first one is what? Yeah, I can't wait to get there. I'm a born-again Christian. Woo, man, I can't wait to get in God's word. That's a good sign. Now, when you get there, what do? Shut your mouth. You're here to learn. And you're here to absorb. That's what Christians do. You're teachable. You submit to the word. I'm here to learn. I'm not here to tell God what this means. I'm not here to spout my opinion. I'm here like a sponge. I'm here to absorb what God would share with me. That's what he says. One guy puts it this way. This is not some generic command that's telling you to just keep your mouth shut and don't talk. Don't say anything in general. Rather, it's referring to being swift to the hearing of the truth of God while being slow to be in the speaking. Well, what's that mean? This is the person who is eagerly hearing every word from God, but is also, listen, cautiously, patiently, with some reluctance, that they would become the speaker prematurely. James is telling them, you need to listen submissively to the word of God and be silent. Listen, until such a time that you prepare to represent it and speak it accurately. Right? That's what he's talking about. And believe it or not, that's what happened after I got saved. Before I got saved, you guys know my testimony, I was a New Ager. I was the bummer at all the parties. Everybody's wanting to do all the drugs and drinking, and unfortunately, I was doing that too. But I'd be the one, hey guys, let's talk about life. What's life all about? Let's talk about the universe. And I'd be that guy, because I knew everything, and I knew what life was all about. Eternal matter, spiritual issues, and I've just got to share them. And I get saved. I'm not raised in the church. I couldn't even told you Jonah the whale story. 8 weeks later, I'm in Bible college. I kid you not, I didn't hear some voice, hey, from the sky. But what literally went through my mind was, just sit here, keep your mouth shut, and be a sponge. That literally went through my head. Be a sponge. And I knew exactly what that entailed. That means just sit here, talk. In fact, if you could go back to my professors in Bible college, they would say I was probably one of the, get this, quietest students they ever had. Miracles do happen. Right? Because God, they said, shut your mouth. You're here to learn. Your time will come, but you need to sit here with an attitude. Submit, slow, just absorb. The second thing, that was just step one. So I hardly ever spoke. I just sitting there every week, absorbing. Next one was, I was on this breakneck speed. I was going to finish Bible college in 3 years. I had it on the cycle. They had it set up on a three-year program. And then after a while, I got challenged from the Lord. Slow down again. What are you doing? Right? You need time to absorb. What good is it? You go through a breakneck speed and you're just cranking out a grade to get a high grade, but you're not remembering. You're not retaining like a sponge what you're learning because you're going so fast because you got to hurry up. Slow down. And so literally, I submitted to that. And what could have been 3 years, it took me 5 years. But I'm so glad God did that because it put me in a position. Now I can take the, I got more time to just slow to, because what's the whole point of going to a Bible college, but you forget what you learn? Come, slow down. That's what he's talking about here. Yes, you're quick. I can't wait to get. But you come and you're like, listen, I'm not the teacher. I'm here to learn. I'm not going to tell God what he means. I'm here to absorb. I'm here to be a sponge. I'm here to just absorb. Just absorb. That's what he's talking about here. One guy says this, listen, if you're going to receive the word of God, you got to receive it in submission. That means you must listen to it. Take every opportunity to hear it. Have it expounded to you, explained to you. But you must be slow to speak until you come to the full understanding and can rightly represent what God is doing. So those who are true believers are known by the attitude with which they receive the word of God in this attitude of submission. He says, in fact, I never question the salvation of someone who demonstrates an ongoing passion for the word of God, quick to listen, but also does with a heart of submission. I'm here to learn. And James says, the reason why is because that's what Christians do. You come there. And by the way, that also fits the context of what he says later. Why would he say, hey, slow down, stop. It ain't about you. You're here to learn. Get it right. Make sure you get it right. Because what's he say later? Not many of you should presume to what? Be teachers, my brothers. Why? Because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. This is God's word. You better get it right or you're misrepresenting God. That's serious stuff. How many guys are glad that we aren't under the Old Testament? Here's another reason to add to the list. Because in the Old Testament, people who proclaimed to be prophets of God. You know what the punishment was in the Old Testament? For people who said they had a word from God and it didn't come to pass? They stoned them to death. And that was not going to one of these sinners here in Las Vegas. It wasn't one of those things. They were killed. Why? Because you had the audacity to say that you had a message from God, and it wasn't true. God never gets it wrong. Boy, people don't do that today, do they? Yeah, you better be glad we're not under the Old Testament. But that's what James is saying. Don't be in a hurry to be the teacher. It's a serious thing to speak the word of God. So just be there. Yes, I'm glad you're here. You're quick to get here. Woo-hoo! Now just be a sponge, be quiet, and soak it up. You don't want to get it wrong. And so I don't know about you, but that's what's going on today. That's what people do when they show up for church services. Are you kidding me? Oh, no way, man. I don't know if you've been outside the four walls here across America. People ain't showing up for church services to come hear the word of God. Are you kidding me? In fact, they refuse to submit to it. And they do the exact opposite of what the Greek says to do. They are very quick to speak up and disclose their thoughts and their motives and their desires, what they want and how it should be. The exact opposite. Churchgoers, notice I didn't say Christians, use their words to clear their mind, to close their thoughts, how they think God's word should be taught, what it means, what style, what preference. And so basically, what you got, here's the biblical standard. Come on. You're there. Be quick to get there. That's great. I'm glad. That's now step two is what? Hold your tongue. Just be a sponge. Soak it up. Get it right. Listen. But you know what it is today? It's this. You better give me what I want. This is how I think it should be. This is what I think we need to be taught. This is how I think. This is my flavor. This is all this. These churchgoers, they don't come to hear God's word. They're not here to soak it up. They're not here to learn. They certainly are not to submit to it, lest they would actually grow and be spiritually mature. No, they want it their way, the way they like it, how they want it, how they think it should be. And the irony is, God says, this is actually what's going to happen, unfortunately, to the church in the last days. And then he even tells us the motive why. Why? How could this happen? But he warns us this, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. He's talking to young pastor Timothy. Paul is telling Timothy, here's your job as a young pastor. What do? Preach the word. What's he say? Be prepared in season, out of season. Can I give you the Crown translation? Whether people like it, lump it, leave it or not. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, you give them the word. And how do you know when a preacher's giving you the word? Here's God's math. You get corrected, you get rebuked, and you get encouraged. So according to God's word, how do you know when you got a faithful shepherd? 2/3 of the time, you're squirming in your seat. Did I say that? No. That's an acid test.
He loves me. I got a great preacher.
Really? You haven't been convicted in sin in 2 years. Run! He ain't preaching the word! You're comfortable in your sin. What? You should be corrected and rebuked. Me too. You don't think I don't get convicted when I teach this? Are you kidding me? But when you're preaching the word of God, 2/3 of the time. And why is that?
Oh, because God's being mean because he doesn't love me.
No. You ever have your kids get out of line? And what you do is you just let them get away with it forever. No, it's a nightmare. What do you do? The code word and a very sufficient sound effect. For spanking. Well, God will spank us too when we get in line. That's what his word does. We're in this wicked world system. It pulls us away. It's always trying to get us away from Christ. And you can't lose your salvation, but it's trying to get us to be in this world. To act like this world. To be a rotten witness. So you know what, God? He loves us enough to what? When his word's being preached, it spanks you back on track. And so if you only get encouraged at your church services, you're getting what I call censored Christianity, and you need to run. 2/3 of the time, correct and rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. Why? Because a lot of times people don't want it. And instead of submitting to the word of God, they take it out on the message giver. And you're like, wow, it's a good thing that the early church only had to deal with that. No, here's a warning. For a time will come in the future. Context is the church. When men will not put up with sound doctrine. What's that mean? They don't want the Bible. What in the church? What do you mean? Everything we need for life and godliness is right here. You want to grow up strong? It's right here. You want to be encouraged? It's right here. You want wisdom? It's right here. You want to learn about the past, present, future? It's all right here. How could you not want the Bible? Instead, he tells you the motive. It's what? Because they're churchgoers. They're right there in your midst. They're with you, Christian. But it ain't about God. It's not about his word. They like feeling religious to suit their own desires. And then apparently they take control because it says they gather around themselves. What's that say? A great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They only hire guys now, which means they're in control of basically fluff. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This is what's going to happen in the last days. As we saw before, itching ears is kenetho. It means to desire only that which is pleasant. Myths literally is muthos. It simply means stories made up. So how do you know you're living the last days? When you see in the church people not just turning away from the truth of God, but they demand, and they will only hire guys who sell out, hirelings, John chapter 10, who will not preach the word, but just tell me how pleasant I am. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how much God loves me. Tell me how to be financially successful. Build up my self-esteem. Make me go away. Feeling wonderful about myself. What's that sound like? That's today. This is how most churches operate. In fact, it's been going on so long. This is the new way of doing church. Because it's all about numbers. It's all about pleasing people. Scripture says, God, Paul says, don't you dare be a people pleaser. You better preach the word in season, out season, whether they like it or not. You preach the word. If you can't do it, go get a different job. Change tire, pick peach. You have no business being a shepherd. Preach the word. But now it's a whole new way. This is the new way to do church. You got to gut all your sermons of anything that might actually convict people. I mean, you know, like sin and hell and God's wrath, hatred towards sins. No, don't convict them. You got to coax them. Don't make them feel bad. Make them feel glad. Give them fluff. Tell them that there's nothing to be afraid of. Learn to be a better you. Build up your self-esteem. How to be financially successful. How is that this? I'm coming here to be a sponge. This is what the church has turned into these days. Now, here's what I love. Paul gives us the motive. How could the church turn into that? Well, here's the first fatal flaw. And he mentions this right here. I love this. 2 Timothy 4:3. Instead, what? To suit their own desires. This is why they're doing it. They're not here for God's word. They're not here for Jesus. He calls it out. It's all about their own desires. Now, wait till you break it out in the Greek. This is really eye-opening. Own desires is the Greek word idios epithumia. And yes, that is where we get the word idiot from. And according to the word of God, according to the original Greek language, an idiot is a person who it's all about oneself, one's own, belonging to oneself. So people who are coming to church services and it's all about self, what they want, how they want it, the way they like it. It's all about me, my, you're an idiot according to the scripture, but you profess to be a Christian. And then you're making it even worse because you don't just sit on that idiot mindset. You're combining it with epithumia, a desire. What kind of desire? But listen, a desire, a craving, a lusting after that which is forbidden. Well, what's in the context that's forbidden? Well, this is it. Here's how it's supposed to be. Here's what Christians do. You're quick to get there, slow to speak. I'm a sponge. But no, I'm a Christian idiot. Because I saw that self. And I'm desiring that which is forbidden. What's forbidden? Not coming to church services with an attitude of submission. I'm here to be a sponge, but it's about what I want, the way I like it, how I need it, and you better give it to me. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. That's what the word means. I was excited about it. Man, you learn something new every day. God says that's forbidden. Don't lust after that. You're going to turn yourself into a Christian idiot. And believe it or not, over 30 years of ministry, I've watched people turn into Christian idiots. And it's the same pattern every single time. And I'm going to share that with you. The first step is when self desires its way. And again, this is the motive. He mentions here in 2 Timothy 4, Paul does, in the last days, it's to suit their own desires. Idiots. Idios, epithumia. Their own selfish desires. That's why they come. It's not about the word of God. But he also says the reason why in the previous chapter. Watch this. He just builds upon it. 2 Timothy 3 now, he says, but mark this. Again, there'll be what times?
Terrible.
Why? Because the world, volcanoes, and it's all this, and war. And well, yeah, but what's the first thing on his list? Why is this so terrible? Oh, man, everything's all messed up. It's so horrible. What's this? People be lovers of themselves. That must be really bad if that's first on the list. Yeah. Because when somebody starts loving themselves, they've got to have it their way. And if you don't get it their way, then it's on, man. It'll destroy a church. It'll destroy a family. It'll destroy a company. It'll destroy a country. It'll destroy anything it touches. And then you get another self that's loving itself, and that clashes with that self, and no wonder it's terrible times. But we don't think of it that way, do we? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but not denying his power. Have nothing to do with them. Why? Because they're Christian idiots. It's idios, epithumia. They're not here for God. They're here for self. They want things the way they want them. You need to preach what they want. You need to sing what they want. You need to do things the way they think. Because after all, they know what's best. And he says they're right there. They're having a form of godliness. What's that mean? They look like Christians. They can speak Christianese. I've been justified, sanctified, deep fried, all fried. They know all that language. Right? They look like, they dress like Christians. They act like Christians. Stay away from those people. What people? The people who show up and it's all about me. And you better give it to me. Have nothing to do with those people. Why? Because it's a path of destruction. It will lead to terrible times. They're not teachable. They're not submissive. They won't listen. They're lusting after what they want to hear, what they desire, what they want, the way they like it. And on it goes. And now the church is flooded with these people. And the church is actually catered to them. Yeah. They look like this. See if this sounds familiar. Take a look.
Nick and Molly just moved to the city and can't agree on what they want. They are young and energetic and looking for a new church home.
We're so excited to find a church. We just started dating.
With the churches we go to now, just not, like, for us, just not really doing it for us, you know?
Right. I go to a satellite campus. I just find it hard to connect emotionally with a video screen. It's just...
Okay, you cry during Cake Boss. So, like, we've been doing a lot of services online, a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of preachers we do like.
Really good, but we want serious yet funny.
Yeah, like commanding of the stage yet relatable, you mm-hmm. know?
We're more looking for the humor of Andy Stanley with the body of Stephen Furtick.
This is Creekside First Baptist. So while it is traditional, it's still pretty current. Just okay. This year, the pastor started untucking his shirts.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Big deal.
He does dress his age, though, so don't worry. He's past the Osteen suit phase, but he hasn't gone full Giglio yet.
Because there's holes in the knees or no?
Well, it's frayed, but no holes.
Frayed? No, okay. Got it. Perfect. Okay.
So hey, let me show you around. Okay,
let's come on. Do it.
I do love this lobby.
It's a great lobby. You know, yeah. It's not too big, not too small. Yeah. Should be enough room to catch up, chat with your friends.
That's what you need.
But here's a great thing. There's a bunch of side exits, so if you need to leave early and catch the game, you can do that.
Got it.
Yes.
Wow. Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
No. First Baptist? Who names a church that anymore?
Not these days. We're looking for like a Thrive Church, maybe Relevant Church, I don't know, Radiant Church, something.
This is the soundboard they use here. Okay. Now remember, it's pretty traditional here. So when Sunday comes around, they turn it way down low.
Got it. Yeah.
But the one knock on this church, they still use the child care numbering system on the screens.
Ooh, for the
yeah. Or as the moms like to call it, the sanctuary walk of shame.
The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional for us.
For us. I mean, the pastor's main point, 157 characters. I can't tweet that.
We laugh because of what? It's how a lot of people show up, ma'am. I mean, it would be refreshing if they say, hey, what are you studying? What are you preaching on? Right? Give me your doctrinal statement. Oh, it's not about that. What kind of coffee do you serve? Can I test out your seats to see if they're comfortable? Right? What kind of, what's that? I can't, no, you speak way too fast. I'll never be able to tweet that. We laugh because it's true. Oh, they're there in your midst. They got a form of godliness. I mean, they've got to be Christians. They dress like Christians. They act like Christians. No, not necessarily. Because they got self on the throne. And they're there to only get what they want. You know what's really sad? Oh, they might be even joining us for so-called worship time. But when self is on the throne, as if God doesn't know what's really going on, he knows what's our heart, our motive, including these people. They might be singing right along with us. But you know how that worship sounds like to God? It must, with self on the throne. It sounds like this. Watch this.
It's all about me.
It is all about you. Now the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD.
It's all about now. I lift my name on high.
All 20 songs, all about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends, if you have any. everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you. Because you are unique, and you love you.
There is none like me. No one else.
All this
can
for only $19.95.
Like
operators
do.
Are standing by to serve you.
And I am why I sing, and I am why I live.
If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yuletide Favorites. Call 1-800-ME-ME-ME or order online at me-myself-and-I.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
It's funny, but the sad thing is, if you think about it spiritually, when self is on the throne and people show up with that mentality in their heart, that must be what it sounds like to God. You're not here for me, God speaking. You're not here for my word. It's all about you. You have no intention to listen, to submit to it, to listen, to keep quiet, to be a sponge, soak it up, and make sure you get it right. Because it's God's truth. It's what we need. No, it's about what you want. And I'll just share with you, this is something I actually had to learn again in my very first internship. I didn't start out this way. You know, when I first got saved, I was this guy. Man, I got saved, and the first thing I did was, I'm all by myself. I figured I better get a Bible. I found a Bible, started reading the Bible, started praying. I said, I guess I better find a church service. I went to a church service. I went to the church service. What? You do it more than once a week? I didn't know it. I wasn't raised in the church. So I went to Sundays and Wednesdays. And then what? There's also a men's Bible study on Friday nights? Yeah! Every chance I can get. 8 weeks after I'm saved. Add on top of that. What? Now I get to go to Bible college 3 nights a week? Yeah! So I was doing that. And then when I got to Bible college, I just shared with you a story. God says, hey, listen. Keep your mouth shut. You're here to learn. Just soak it up, study, be quiet, listen, make sure you get it right. So I was doing that. But where I got off track and I started to turn into a Christian idiot was my first internship. And I want to explain it to you because I see this happening to professing Christians all the time. And maybe you are saved. I don't know. But it happened to me. It was my first internship. And I was used to a Bible college atmosphere. Man, we're studying, man. We're Greeking out. We're doing all this stuff. The guys were really energetic, high energy guys, passionate. And then I'm surrounded by student pastor, whatever. And then I go to this slow-speaking Baptist church. And Mr. High and Mighty Know-It-All, young Christian intern. I just couldn't take it anymore. I literally, it was coming out of my mouth. This guy's so boring. Come on. I started getting restless. And then I started to justify that. Oh, I just can't get nothing. I literally sat there the whole time, and I didn't get nothing. Because I was so used to this other one, and I was convinced that it had to be that way if I was ever going to learn anything. And I'm sitting there, I kid you not, back in the day, this is before cell phones, I'm sitting there, my attitude got so bad. I'm Mr. High and Mighty, incredible Bible college student, young intern. I'm doodling on the bulletin during the whole time, making goofy faces, whatever. And by the way, if I had a cell phone back in the day, I'd probably been on my cell phone the whole time. People wouldn't do that. And I'm sitting there doodling, whatever, and it's just, it was my weekly routine. I'm getting nothing out of it. I'm getting nothing. This guy's so boring. Come on, hurry up. God spanked me big. I mean big. Woo! One of them, whoa. And here I was, a high and mighty Bible college student, and it wasn't the message giver that had the problem. He was preaching the truth. It was just different. The problem was my attitude. And I want to explain this because this is where the seduction was. I literally, once I hit that attitude, I got nothing from his sermons. But it wasn't his sermons. It was my attitude that prevented me from getting anything out of it. That's the trap. Let me explain to this. Jim Smith, he goes to church services on Sunday morning. He heard an organist miss a note during the prelude and he winced. He saw a teenager talking when everybody's supposed to be bowed in silent prayer. And then he felt like the usher was watching to see what he put in the offering plate, and it made him boil. And get this, He even caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue 5 times in the sermon by actual count. He was actually cataloging it. And he slipped through the side door during the closing hymn, and he muttered to himself, "Never again. What a bunch of clods and hypocrites. You can't learn nothing here." Ron Jones, he goes to a church service on Sunday morning. He heard an organist play an arrangement of A Mighty Fortress, and he was thrilled that they managed to do it. He heard a young girl take a moment in the services to speak of a simple message of how her faith had made a difference in her life. He was really glad to see that the church was sharing in a special offering for the hungry children in Nigeria. And in fact, he especially appreciated that sermon that Sunday because it answered a question that had bothered him for a long time. And he thought as he walked out the doors, he goes, "Man, how can a man come here and not feel the presence of God?" You know the punchline. Both men went to the same church service on the same Sunday and each got what they were looking for. This is the lesson I need to learn. I had convinced myself, come on, this is not what I want. This is not how I like it, or this is not what I think we should do. And guess what? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You won't learn nothing. But it's not because what was before you, you couldn't learn. It's your bad, selfish attitude like I had that will shut you off from ever learning anything. God spake me. Showed up. I repented and I got right with God. Because it's not about self. I was turning into a Christian idiot. Got right with God, says, "God, would you please forgive me? You can use anybody to teach me the word of God." He's not preaching heresy. It's just a different style. I went back there the next Sunday. You will not believe this. He had the audacity to not change what he was preaching on. He spoke just as slow as the previous week. I couldn't believe it. But you know what happened? I learned several things that Sunday. What had changed? Not him. God had mercy on me because I was turning into a Christian idiot. See, that's the illusion. When it's all about what you want, the way you like it, you literally will convince yourself, see, I'm not getting nothing. No, it's all there the whole time. It's just your attitude is preventing it. That's the first step. The second step of turning into a Christian idiot is now you demand it. Ooh. See, this is when you don't respond to God spanking the first step. This is where you're selfish. You're desiring what you want, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You get nothing out of it, not because you couldn't, but you don't put yourself in a position to learn because it has to be your way. Shut yourself off from it. But here, you don't respond to God spanking. And you go into the second mode. The second mode is, you better give it to me. I've been sitting here week after week desiring it, and you're still not giving it to me. You better give it to me. You demand it. And watch this. James calls this out. And again, it's self on the throne. But now it's self on the throne in action, gathering support. Watch this. This is so cool. James 3, 14 to 16. "But if you harbor bitter envy and what? Selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth as if God doesn't know that's your motive." but why not boast about it? Because it's bad. "Such wisdom, because you, after all, know what's right." That wisdom, what? That's not from God. It doesn't come down from heaven. It's earthly. It's unspiritual. It's of what? The devil. Why is it the devil? Because where did me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity, self, self-love, self, self-worship, self, where'd that start, Satan? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. That's what caused the fall of Satan. Of course this is of the devil. But listen, you're not getting what self wants. "And for where you have envy and," he says, "selfish ambition," what's the fruit of it? Man, you're going to have disorder in every evil practice. Of course, because you're acting like Satan now. Because you demand. Satan demand. "I will be like God. I," when God says, "Excuse me." You're done. Right. Now it gets worse. You started out as a Christian idiot. Now you're really becoming an idiot. Because you start demanding. But here's the point. You know what they do in this stage? You demand it. What do you mean they demand it? See, that's the illusion because you're supposed to be a Christian. You can't just, you know, make a big announcement that Sunday. "I think it needs to be my way." Because that's not spiritual. That's too obvious. You know what you do? You go behind the scenes. You start playing politics in the church. You gather support. "Hey, I think we need this. That never happens, does it? You know what's funny? We laugh because that goes on in churches. But that's what the word selfish ambition means. It's not like this guy's trying to climb the corporate ladder. No, he's talking the context of the church and them. Watch what it says in the church. It's the Greek word aretheia. Listen, it's to put oneself forward. How? Electioneering. What's that? You're playing politics. You're sucking an election campaign to get what you want in the church. By means of a what? A fractious spirit using unfair means in a what? Self-seeking pursuit. That's all what it is. But see, that's how you can. It's what's best for the kids. This is what we need to do. No, it's what you want. It's for the best of the church. This is what our community. No, you liar. You're going around currying support because you don't have the guts to submit and say, God, I'm sorry, I'm getting selfish. I was like Pastor Billy in his intern days. I'm not here to learn. God, spank me, man. Can you give me a back on? No, it's not that. Now you got to have it. But you go around in a sneaky backdoor way. You start politicking in the church. And you say, hey, I think we should do that. And don't you think we need to do that? I think this is a better way. And we oh, you guys are funny. What did it say? Two-thirds of the time, what should be happening? Squirming in the seats. You're making it worse. You went from desiring to demanding. And that is rampant in the church today. You see, if people don't get their way, I've learned 30 years, they try to do this. But there's usually two things they do before they hit the selfish ambition politicking phrase. Let me just explain to you how it works. Number one, they try to butter you up. Because it's all about self. It's not what's best for the church. That's how they sound it. But see, this phase, they butter you up. Oh, Pastor, you're the greatest thing this community's ever seen. You just what we need. Oh, everybody identifies with you, and you're great. You're awesome. And you know what's coming. You know what they're doing. It's because it's over the top syrupy. Like, come on, man. I just get to the point. I know what you're doing. Come on. You're the greatest thing. And sure enough, 3 months later, 6 months later, they drop the bomb on you. Oh, by the way, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think we should do this, and we need that. They try to bribe you. Not in politicking quite yet, but they try to bribe you. And bribing you to get to do what they want could be like what they want to hear, how they want to hear, or to get you to stop what you're doing, and this was in my case, stop preaching the truth. So it's a way of getting what they want by bribing you. I'll share with you real quick two ways that that's actually happened in the past. I could be here all day with stories. What's the context? Again, instead of being what? I'm here. I can't wait to get here. I'm coming here to hear the word of God. And when I get here, what? I put spiritual tape over my mouth. Why? Because it's not a time to talk. I'm here to absorb. No. I got to have it my way. So if I can't butter you up, I'm going to try to bribe you. Now, the two bribes were this. I'm not joking. One was on a Saturday night and about dusk. And the guy, one of the pillars of the church, he came up to me. And he had this big old giant turkey. It was a big one. It was like a Nephilim turkey or something. I don't know what it was, but it was like big. And it was right before Thanksgiving, of course. And he just said, hey, Pastor, I just want to say, hey, glad that you and your family are here. I want to make sure you guys have a great Thanksgiving. I'm going, I know what you're doing. Because he didn't want me to preach on what I was preaching on. We'd already been this route. But here he shows up with this giant turkey. And then I grab the turkey. And he starts to walk away. Then he turns around real quick and he goes, hey, hope to have a good sermon tomorrow. First of all, I don't put my sermons together at the last minute. Are you kidding me? And then I would switch gears just because you gave me a stupid turkey. I walk into the kitchen and ask Brandy. I walk into the kitchen. I go, honey, I think somebody just tried to bribe me with a turkey. Right? And I'm going like, and then, of course, what's the irony? It's a foul bird. It's like, bring me a half slab of cow. Put a Camaro in the driveway. Do something, but not a stupid turkey. I'm like, come on, ain't it worth more than that? A stupid turkey. So sure enough, the next day came around. You know what I did? I gave it to him even harder. Yeah. Preach the word in season, out of season. They hated my guts. Yeah. Those people who weren't there to learn. They're not all the church. But they will flood a church if you cave into these people. I'll give you another one. Same guy. He tried another attack. He ramped it up. He must have heard me talking about the Camaro. All of a sudden, he just shows up. Hey, Pastor Billy, great family. You're awesome. Come on. I know what you're doing. I'm going to buy a whole brand new sound system for the church. And at that point, that really was a big thing. Because it was like Radio Shack duct tape days. Because you know what Radio Shack is? Some of the older folks? Oh, that's We were barely scraping, man. And that was a really neat. He spent, I don't know, 15 grand or something on that thing, which didn't sound like much, but back then, that was just, it was all professional, whatever. And right? And so he gets it all like, and he's like, You know what I did that next Sunday? I gave it to him hard again!
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You can't bum me off! Preach the Lord! In season, out of season. Careful, great patience, because there's a time coming. They don't want to hear it anymore. But you're called to be a preacher. You preach the Lord anyway! Because that's what people need. God will give you what you need always. Not what you want. But people show up with what they want. And that's when the conflict happens. If you allow it to get out of control. But now, if you don't give in to buttering or bribing up, they start politicking. And oh, they sound so spiritual. They have their little secret meetings. The whispering campaigns. Even during services or in between services. As if I'm like really dumb. I come around a corner. Oh, hey, Pastor. Oh, yeah. I have no idea what you were doing. I could tell you stories in blue. Are you kidding me in the church? And what happens is people do cave in. Paul tells Timothy and Titus, don't be a people pleaser. Because you got to preach the word. Because guess what? Two-thirds of the time, they're going to get corrected and rebuking. You would think that people go, thank you, God, for loving me enough to spank me and get me back on track. People don't always have. They take it out on the messenger. So you better have a calling truly from God, because he'll give you the grace to deal with it. But don't go in thinking that it's a popularity contest. You preach the word. And these people, man, if you give in to them, it'll destroy that church. Every single time. Here's how it's supposed to be. You're thinking, you know, you're a brand new Christian. You can't wait to get there. You think everybody's got that attitude. When you get there, again, you demonstrate a true born again Christian. I'm here just to learn. I'm not here to tell everybody what to do or how to do it. This is from God. He's going to give me what I need, man. It's not by chance that preacher's preaching the way he's preaching. This is from God, right? I don't get hung up on my style. Okay, well, so maybe he speaks a little slower, right? Or maybe he speaks too fast. Or maybe he does this. Oh, look at those dragon lies. Oh, you know, I'm here just to soak it up, man. I'm here to sponge. I know the word of God. He's not preaching heresy. It's the word of God, so I can receive it, right? Yeah. But the problem is when you give in to these people, when they go from just desiring it to demanding it and playing politics, you know what happens? It'll destroy your church. It's the beginning of the end. And so instead of people, and my heart really goes out to the young Christian, because you do what you're supposed to do. You go to church services and you're coming there as a baby craving the word of God, the milk, and you just can't wait to get there. And so you get in, you close the door. And what do you get from much of the American church today? Pandering to self, which explains this kind of baloney. Watch this. Wake up and get yourself to church.
One, two. Go down.
Although we're going to experience a time, Ororo, power of God.
See, with the power of the Holy Ghost, this is easy.
Yeah.
breakthrough in the room.
In the East, and we have come.
What?
What is right? What does that got to do with teaching the Word of God? Right. In perfect unison with the beat. I don't know if he meant to do that, but that was genius. Because that's what people need. Instead of preaching the Word. That's what's happening. And you're going, how is this? We laugh because this is the norm. It's like a circus freak show on Sundays. In churches. How'd that happen? Well, I think it's going like this. Somebody somewhere didn't toe the line. And they caved into these people with selfish desires. And you still weren't giving it to them. So they started politicking. And you gave in to them. They might have buttered you up, bribed you. Or just moved to the final stage and they threatened you. This is it. What do you say when that happens? Selfish desires, selfish ambitions. You'll have what? Every disorder, evil practice, it's of the devil. And that's what happens. It wasn't just a bad witness what we saw. For the people that are coming, it'll destroy every single time. And shocker, again, James calls this out. Later in now, chapter 4, 1 through 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Hello? Don't they come from what? There it is again. You seen a pattern? Your desires. Because it's got to be your way. Because you're so spiritual. And you know it's best. And guess what? That come from you. That battle within you. You want something, but you don't get it. Oh, now you're going to get it. You kill, you covet. But you can't have what you want. So you what? You quarrel and you fight. And this is the final stage. If you give in to these Christian idiots, they will destroy the church 100% of the time. If you give in as a church leader, as a pastor, to these Christian idiots, and you can't smell 100 miles away that they're just buttering you up or trying to bribe you, even you, or to get you to join their team to go against the pastor or the leadership or both, you'll get sucked into it. And it'll destroy the church. Because if you don't give self what it wants, oh, it's on. I've had people literally threaten me with bodily harm because I preach the truth. I've had people threaten to sue me because I preach the truth. I had one guy said he's going to sue me because I was preaching the truth and his loved one got saved. I've had people stalk my house because I preach the truth. No joke. And on it goes. And I'm telling you right now, if you give in to these people, even when they threaten you, it's over. The church will be destroyed because they will take control of the church. And it'll be what you just saw on steroids. And this is where you end up with church fights, church gossip, church splits. You ever go to the services where there wasn't just tension there? You could cut it with a chainsaw. And you're going like, something's messed up here. You know how that happened? Because the people aren't there for this. They're not there. Ooh, let's go hear the word. And then when I show up, I shut my mouth. And then I just soak it up. Now you got a bunch of people, not just one, because now they went politicking. And you got a bunch of selves. And here's what you end up with. This.
Take a look at this.
We're in trash bags. You need to leave this church right now. It's something different about us. I'm out of trouble.
Goodbye, goodbye.
You are evil.
Yeah, we're evil. You're stupid.
No.
You're stupid.
It felt sad to me that it
devolved into that.
A pushing and shouting match inside Solid Rock Church in Kokomo Wednesday night.
We had planned to just peacefully and silently demonstrate.
Natalie Guest, who started the Kokomo Inclusion Alliance, says she and a few other demonstrators came here for what they thought was a lecture called The Truth on Islam during this melee that involved Taylor Township board member Bob Marley. Marley says he was trying to stop the group from disrupting the service when he was pushed.
If they wanted to protest, the rightful thing to done was to done outside and be respectful.
Natalie says they tried to do that, but after an hour of listening to what they say was hate speech, they had to stand up.
The message from Kokomo is very clear. Do not bring hate to our city.
Oh, take a look at this. Chaos in church over the weekend when protesters yell out during service. It happened at the Great Faith Ministries. That's on Grand River Avenue.
A clash during Saturday service at Great Faith Ministries caught on tape.
Don't touch me, bro.
Mark DeAndre of 7 Mile Radio was there as an observer and shot the video.
These guys just trying to bully people, and they're trying to make it seem that they're doing it because they're concerned with the community.
All power to the people.
Key word there. What was it all about? Power to the word of God. This means the word of God. What's best for what God says? God. Nothing. It's about the people. By the way, that one in the middle, the lady, don't bring hate. You know what the context was at? They brought in a faithful teacher to expose Islam. That's what she said was a hate crime. Not in our church, because we just need to love, inclusive. Did you catch it? Now, you may not know this, and I'm not here to pick at scabs, but every once in a while, I feel led to the Lord. Because so many of us are new to Sunrise. What you just saw was Sunrise 12 years ago. There's about 6 of us left from that original day. And they know. They also have the scars. I literally had people who said out of their mouth, they hated my God. Why? Because I preach the truth. I wasn't on a witch hunt. I'm just teaching the word of God. You're supposed to do that. Amen. And God's word began to expose their sin.
That's right.
What are you supposed to do if you're born again? You submit to it. Thank you, God, for giving me spanking. Grow stronger as a Christian. No. Because that's not what it was about. They weren't here for that. They didn't want to hear it. The first 3 years, 12 years ago, I affectionately look back and call World War III. They held secret meetings to get rid of me. They threatened me with bodily harm. They were mean and nasty to my wife and kids. That one almost got me. You can mess with me, but don't mess with my wife and kids. They lied about me. They lied about Get a Life. They threw out false accusations galore, just literally made stuff up. They purposely tried to sabotage the church finances as an excuse to get rid of me. And they purposely ran every new person off that liked me and wanted to grow because they didn't want me to garner support. Why? Because at that time, Sunrise was a church full of Christian idiots. And they weren't even unified. Oh, they'd already hit the selfish, ambitious stage of politicking, but it had gone on so long that there was 3 different groups of politicians, and they didn't even agree with each other. That made it even worse. So what do? You give in to them and their threats? Absolutely not. Preach the word!
Amen.
And I say that for the glory of God. It's proof in the pudding. You don't put up with the baloney. You preach the word in season, out of season, whether they like it or not. It's not a popularity contest. But what happens when you preach the word? God will take care of those people.
Right.
He'll expose them for who they are. You keep preaching the word and watch what he does. Because now Sunrise is a biblical church. Now Sunrise is a healthy place to go. And now people show up to Sunrise. I can't wait to get there. Woo-hoo! The word of God. And when I get here, I'm just here to soak it up. God will weed these people out. And we see this every week. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, we have people come. But if they're not here to learn the word of God, what do? Sometimes they don't even make it through a full service. because self is on the throne. And it's sad. As you can see, this is serious. This has happened to the church. Man, if there's only somehow, some way we could find out who these people really are. Well, that's what James says. They're going to be slow to speak. They're going to be a sponge. They're going to show up. Man, it's all about Jesus. I'm here to submit to the word of God. I'm here to listen. I got here super fast, man. I couldn't wait. I'm not doing all the talking. I'm listening. I'm teachable. I'm not telling God or anybody else how it should be or how I want. I'm not demanding what to be taught. I'm soaking it up, everything that God teaches me, and I will do what it takes to get here and to grow like these Christians. Watch this.
And when you teach in China, you start at 8 in the morning, and you don't get done till 5 at night. They were sitting there, all 22 of them, and I looked around. And I said, now, if we get caught, what will happen to me? They said, oh, you'll get deported in 24 hours, and we'll go to prison for 3 years. I said, you're kidding. How many of you have been in prison for your faith? Out of 22, 18 raised their hands. I thought, no way. I had 15 Bibles and I passed them out. Obviously, 7 didn't get them. And I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we're going to read it. And just then, one lady handed hers to somebody next to her. And I thought, interesting. Well, we turned there anyway, and as we started reading it, I understood why she gave it away. She had memorized the whole thing. I went over to her at a break, and I said, you recited the whole chapter. She says, oh, yes, I've memorized many chapters. I said, where did you memorize many chapters? She said, in prison. You can't take what's hidden in your heart. I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. I said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you? And I said, I will not do that. I said, because you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you've got to drive more than an hour, people don't come. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them.
True Christians, you do what it takes to get to the Word of God. I was all by myself as a born-again Christian. There was an internal desire. I got to find a Bible. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He drives you to His Word. He wants you to grow. He's there to illuminate the Word of God, to teach you. You do what it takes. You're excited. Nothing's more exciting than learning from God. It's what we need, this side of heaven, this messed up world. And then when you finally find a place, you do what it takes, whether I got to take a 13-hour train ride,
I got to drive 45 minutes across Las Vegas.
Are you kidding me? You do what it takes. And then if you're one of the folks that live in the developments next to us, it only takes 5 minutes, you try really hard each week not to boast about it to the rest of the folks. Because we need unity. But you do what it takes. And when you come, hey, I'm trusting that God's putting on that preacher what I need to hear. Because it's the truth. And I thank you, God, for always giving me what I need. Don't ever let me do what Pastor Billy did and turn into a Christian idiot, thinking that it's all about what I want. Because then I won't learn anything. And that's sad. Well, that's why James says, there's your acid test. Everyone, if you're truly born again, how do you know? Well, they're quick to listen, ma'am. Can't wait to get there. They're slow to speak. And then he actually gives us one more. They follow the word of God. Because what's the context? You don't just listen to it. Okay, praise God, you came here quick. You're excited. You soaked it up. But are you doing it? Don't deceive yourself. Lord willing, we'll get to that next time. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.